Well, good morning. Happy New Year to all of you guys. I'm so happy to see you all. It's been a couple of weeks, I would say, that I haven't been around. I was supposed to share a message on the 15th, from hope to despair. From despair to hope. But it really ended up being despair because I woke up in the morning and it just wasn't a good morning. And then I was recovering for a couple of days and we were a little bit away over Christmas season, and now we're back, and I'm happy to be back. Yes. People tell me I brought the good weather with me, which is great. Happy to hear that. As we were down south, I was just on my cell phone reading the news, you know, and then I felt really bad for you guys, you know, when the big storm was rolling in. Everybody was saying, Snowmageddon is coming, it's over, this is going to be it. I was just, I felt for you guys. Okay? I really did, deep down. It was hard for me to watch that. But I'm really happy that we all have survived and we're here in a new year. And today I want to share a message with you that, a little bit about the message from the 15th, And a little bit of a new take on it. I felt like some of the stuff that I wanted to use in that message, I'll keep it for the Christmas in December. So, you know, it was a good story, but it had the main characters were Christmas characters, so it didn't really make much sense this morning. But I have some main characters this morning, and again, it's Jesus and Apostle Paul. So we're gonna go through some of the things here that I want to share with you. But this is the title of my message: New Year, Same God. Basically, all that we've been talking about this morning, and the Same God song, and the prayers, and all the things that we've said. New Year's saying, I thought about naming it New Storm, Same God, you know. But then I thought, I don't want to focus too much on the storm, although that's going to be a part of my message. I thought maybe, you know, because I want to talk about hope, New Storm, maybe Same Hope. But then when you really think about it, you go deep down in it, all the emotions of Christmas that we just went through in December, hope, peace, love, joy, and all those things that we talked about, really, it's a new year, but it's the same God which gives us the same hope, gives us the same peace. He gives us the same courage. He gives us the same light. He gives us the same joy, and on and on and on. I hear about a lot of maybes and mights on the beginning of the new year. People say, what might happen? What may happen in 2023? We don't know what's going to happen. There's a lot of talk. You know, as we were away, it was basically everything that I've read on the news was negative. Every single thing that I've read, there was not a single positive thing. I thought to myself, like, people that spend their time reading the news will not have any hope for tomorrow. Maybe not even any hope for today. So I'm really glad that 2022 is finally over. If I can be honest with you, I was looking forward to today, January 1st, because 2022, if I can be honest with you, was not an easy year for me. It was not an easy year for our family. Our friends, it wasn't just one event that happened. It was like, oh, it was really bad, but it was multiple events that happened. And I was looking up stuff of when, what do people usually say when they say, you know, there's a lot of bad stuff that are happening. And usually what we say in our culture, we say, well, when it rains, pours. If you live in Canada, when it snows, exactly, you know, and it's actually there's a name that meteorologists came with when it comes to the weather, and they actually came with this name back in 1930s, but then it came more prevalent in about 90s when there was a fishing ship that disappeared. It was a movie that came out of it, the book came out of it, and you probably have heard about it. It was called The Perfect Storm. it was a perfect storm. I told myself I'm not going to cry.
But just in case.
They say strong men cry. Okay, I'll take that. If I haven't cried in a while, you probably should start crying right now. There was a lot of loss, but one thing that we haven't lost was hope. And that's what I want to focus on this morning, because I really believe that's what kept us all going. And the scriptures I want to start with this morning is in Hebrews, which talks about hope. Hebrews 6, 19, 20. And it describes hope as something. And this is what it says. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf, and he has become a high priest forever in order of Melchizedek. A hope is an anchor. And when you are in the storm, in a big storm, in a perfect storm, when anything that can possibly go wrong goes wrong, hope is an anchor. And that was the hope that Jesus showed us, that Jesus gave us when he came down to this earth. He came to give us hope. He came to give us joy. He came to give us peace. He came to give us all these good things. And Apostle Paul was one of the guys that experienced hopelessness or despair at times. As he writes in Corinthians 1, 8 through 10, he says this: "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the hardships that we have suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we may not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. And he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver you. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us." Apostle Paul. And this is what I realized this past year. Perfect storms create perfect hope. Perfect storms create perfect peace. Perfect storms create perfect joys if our focus is in the right place and if our mind is in the right place. Jesus himself was in a storm, and there was one event that his disciples went through with him. We're going to read in a moment from Mark, where, you know, when Jesus called them out to follow him, they didn't think of much except they were enjoying the moment. Jesus was a celebrity. Everybody was running, flocking to him for healing, for deliverance, for all the stuff that people needed. But then there was a test that came where they feared for their lives. And I want to read this story from Mark 4, 35 to 41. It says this: "As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's cross to the other side of the lake.' So they took Jesus in a boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind. But soon, a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill the water. But Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. And the disciples woke him up, shouting, 'Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?' When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Silence, be still.' And suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked, 'Why are you afraid? You still have no faith?' The disciples were absolutely terrified. 'Who is this man?' they asked each other. 'Even the winds and the waves obey him.' And in this analogy that I'm using, even the storms obey Jesus." So, the perfect storm, the worst case scenario. Sometimes we find ourselves in the middle of perfect storm. And I've heard someone said this before. You're either in the middle of the storm, you're either coming out of the storm, or you're going into a storm. So I don't know if you're in a storm this morning, or all the storms have passed. What we need to learn is that the hope is our anchor in a storm. And this over the Christmas holidays, we have I've done something that I haven't done in a long time. When I was a kid, I did it, but not to this extent. And that was actually snorkeling. I went to snorkel, and I enjoyed it, and I saw all kinds of stuff that I'd never seen in my entire life. And it was so good that my friend that came with us, Vlad, he said, we should keep going back there. Like, this is a beautiful spot. We won't come back here. Let's just keep going at it. So we kept on renting the paddle boat every single day, not only for us, but for the boats, for the boys as well. And we decided, you know what, this one time we're going to go, because the waters were a little rough at some of the days that we went. We're going to go, but the problem was we had to have two boys in our paddle boat to paddle back because the boat kept on being pushed by the waves. So Vlad had an idea, and he actually was smart enough to bring some of his camping equipment with us, which, you know, when I thought about it, we can't really pitch a tent in the middle of the sea, but we can use a rope. So he had some rope. It was a challenging task, but we did find a rock at the bottom. We came to about a kilometer from the shore where all the beauty was. And we found a rock. It looked closer than it appeared. Thankfully, I wasn't the one going under to tie it, because I told him, I'm not a professional rope tier. You know, I don't really know any of those things. And he was always in charge of doing all those rope stuff. So, like, okay, well, I'll do it. By the time he came up, the first time he came up, he couldn't. He was almost dying. He was basically like, this is actually further than I thought. And then I said, well, I don't know if there's anything else. Like, that was kind of there, and we were already in the middle of the sea. And he said, okay, you'll go again. He went under. I don't know what he did, but he did it. He brought a rope up. He's like, I got it. And he basically tied a rope around this huge rock. We tied it for our paddle boat. And then we just chilled there for like an hour. We enjoyed our time. The wind was pretty rough. The water was pretty rough too. But we were able to enjoy ourselves in peace, knowing that our paddle boat is not going to end up on the shore. And we are just going to have a good time seeing all the beauty that God has created. And that has reminded me, when I was preparing this message there for this moment, that even the baptism itself, when you go in the water, thankfully we don't keep you in the water. You come up, and the water is used as example. The water can kill people. The water can deliver people. The water can set people free. If we don't have water, we would die as humans. We have to drink water continuously to live on. But the water has killed a lot of people because they were not careful enough. And I'm talking about material water, but also spiritual waters. The storms of life have extinguished the hope and faith out of people's lives, because they have not had their rope anchored to the rock, which in this case is Christ himself. And if you don't have your rope anchored to the rock, you're either going to end up under the waters, or you're going to be just circling around the sea, going in circles your whole life, wondering, what is this all about? Confused, no purpose, nothing to live for. But once you anchor yourself to the rock, who is Christ himself, who is our hope, then you're able to enjoy life and its beauty in the most magnificent way ever. Now, going to an analogy of me being underwater and enjoying the sea, there was a lot of things under the sea that I was surprised to see. that went really well. A lot of things under the sea I was surprised to see, but the things that I saw just reminded me of how amazing our Creator and God is. And even though I did bring some bread to feed those fishes, trust me, they did not live off my bread that morning or whenever we went. And all those fishes and millions of them that I've seen, I thought to myself, how do these guys live? How these guys, they got no worries. They're just swimming around. They're swimming. They're eating whatever they find. There's so much. God is providing everything for these guys. And here we are, entering the new year, worried about what's tomorrow going to bring. How are things going to fall into place? How are things going to look at work? What's my boss going to say? What's my bank going to say? Or what about my bills? And what about this? And what about that? And we have all these concerns of life that sometimes can overwhelm us, especially when we enter the storm. When you go into the storm, the fear that you didn't know was there comes up. And then you have a choice. Disciples, in this case, they had a choice. But they did not understand how come this was happening to them. I mean, they were with Jesus. And I've realized a lot of truths I'm going to share with you in a moment. But one of the truths that they forgot was that Jesus himself was with them on that boat. And no matter what they were going through, they didn't know that Jesus had the power to deliver them from. They were fearful. They allowed the fear. They allowed the uncertainty, hopelessness, despair to settle in. And they just lost their mind at the sea. So, there's power in the presence of Jesus. Not in a storm, but in the presence of Jesus in the middle of the storm. And that's what we need to remind ourselves this morning. Because Jesus has told us, in this life, you will have trouble. But take heart, because I have overcome this world. And here's five things I just want to leave with you this morning before we go and pray for our wonderful people that have committed their life to Christ this morning by burying their old life and rising up to live a new life through Christ. This is what I was reminding myself of this last year as I went through the storm. And this is what I hope will help you as well, and will remind you of what you will need to remember as you go into this year. So number one is this: joy and gratitude will completely shift your mindset. Joy and gratitude will shift your mindset. This is why I had two messages on rejoicing and joy, because that really is what kept me going. And this is what in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says: give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Not only when there's no storms, when the sea is peaceful and everything is great, but in every single circumstance. That means when you are in rough waters, when you're going through a storm, give thanks. Choose to give thanks. Choose to focus on joy. Why? And this is what I've, sometimes we forget when we're in a storm, we forget all the blessings and all the things that we have around us. And we try to, and we focus so hard on the things that that are in our way and that is bothering us and is a problem and is an issue, but there's so many other things in our life to be thankful about and grateful about and joyful about, right? And the enemy, what the enemy wants us to do, he wants us to focus on that one thing that's going to steal our joy. It's going to steal our peace. It's going to steal our hope. And he wants you to just be focused on that so much that you would miss out on all the great things that God has for you. And some people end up like that in their life, whether it's grief, whether it's problems, separation, divorces, a lot of things that happen in their life, and they just focus on that, and that is all they see. There's nothing past that. But what are you thankful? What is there to be thankful about? There's a lot of things to be thankful about. There's a lot of things to be grateful about. There's always something to be thankful about. I'm yet to meet one person. I ask them a question. They have at least one thing to be thankful for. Say, no, I don't. We all have at least one thing to be thankful for. And if we focus on that joy and gratitude, that's actually going to shift our mindset from despair and hopelessness to hope and peace and joy and all those things that God is. Second thing that I've learned is, and this one is really important, especially coming out of COVID, this one was a big one, even talking among the church leaders and leadership, but it's crucial, and this is what it is. The community will encourage you. I want to say the church, but the community is much more. There's communities of people that are Christian, people that are that will you can spend, have a coffee with, and will encourage you. You don't have to be necessarily be here on Sundays, although we do recommend and encourage you to come every Sunday, because this will encourage you. When you're going through a storm, the community of people, when you have a frowning face and you're so sad and going through a hard time, you get yourself out of bed in the morning on a Sunday morning, you come to church, and I doubt you will leave the same. I've never left the same when I came to church, when I decided to come to church. 1 Corinthians 12, 25, 27 says this, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually, you are the members of it. Man, when I was going through a hard time and grief of losing three closest people in my life, my dad, my aunt, and our best friend Tamara, if I didn't have the community, people that prayed for us, people that encouraged us, I do not know where we would be. But what we tend to do sometimes when we go through a storm is we tend to isolate ourselves. And you know, I don't want to see anybody. That can last for a little bit, and that's fine. You can have your moments of grief. We all should. But when we are in despair, we're going through a hard time, We are never to pull back and separate ourselves from the community, from the source of life. Yes. You can take a break from people. That's okay. But only for a very short time. Very short time. Surround yourself with positive people. People that will encourage you. People that will pray for you. People that will speak life over you. You will not find them at bars and restaurants. You're going to find them right here in church. Yeah. So, unless you have some Christian people at work, which I do all the time. It's good to work at church, but, you know, like, some of you guys have people at work that are Christian and they encourage you and stuff like that. Those are also good places to be. Community, it's really important for us. Even in Scripture, Proverbs says, woe to those when they don't have anyone to lift them up when they fall. Encouragement does come from the Lord, but it also comes from the people that God uses in our life. The third truth that I need to remind myself of in this year, last year, that I'm going to be reminding myself again and again and again in 2023 is simply this. You're not alone. God's Spirit is always with you. always with you. You see, when Jesus was leaving this earth, he said, teach these new disciples to obey all my commands that I have given you, and be sure of this. Here's the promise that Jesus gave us. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Even though Jesus physically departed, he said, I'm going to send you my spirit, my counselor. I'm going to send you someone who's going to guide you, who's going to be with you forever. So, go back to the boat story with Jesus. Some people believe, oh, God is powerful. God is, you know, and disciples, they probably believe, you know, Jesus is powerful enough to stop this storm, but, you know, I'm just not sure. Why is he sleeping? Why is this happening to us? See, they were believing in the power of God to some extent, but they were not sure of Jesus' presence 100%. But Jesus was right there with them. So God's presence is what sustains us. His presence is what gives us strength. His presence is what gives us peace. His presence is what keeps us ongoing. All you have to do, and I've said this many times, just make yourself aware of his presence. It could be at the gas station. It could be at the bus stop. It could be at school or workplace. All you have to do is just make yourself aware of his presence in your life. When you feel down, when you feel discouraged, you just say, God, I want to feel your presence right now. I know you're here. You promise you're going to be with me till the end of age. Just let me feel your presence. When you do that, you'll feel his care, his love. You'll feel him holding you in his hands. The fourth thing that I needed to remind myself of is God is always in control. He's always in control no matter what. Jeremiah 29 talked about this. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. Letting go of control and saying, God, you know what? You have the hope in the future, and whatever that looks like, I trust you. And sometimes it can be hard to let go of control and say, well, I want to hold things and I want to be in charge and I want to make sure everything is running smooth and I want to make sure that things are okay. But when it comes to the most crucial things in our life, we have to remind ourselves, you know what? Jesus, God is in control. He is outside of our time and our space. And he sees everything. He sees us in the future already. He knows us in the future already. And we don't have the power to control everything except ourselves, obviously. But we do have power to surrender. You don't have a power to control everything, but you have power to surrender to God. And say, God, I let go of this situation. I let go of this circumstance. I'm not in control. I can't process this. This is too much for me. I know that you have hope and the future. And I know that you're in control. Sometimes we tend to forget that. We tend to forget that God is the one who invented life. It wasn't us. It wasn't the people. So what we need to do is we need to just let the Creator be a creator. Let the Creator rule. Let him have control. And he has us in his hands. The fifth thing I need to remind myself of, and I'll need to remind myself of again and again, is suffering has an expiration date. When we got back from our trip, we had milk in our fridge still, and we poured it in our coffee, and we learned that milk was not good. And there goes our coffee. You know, there's a lot of things in this life that humans make have expiration dates. And one of the things that Scripture tells us multiple times over and over again is the suffering that we experience in this time, in this world, the trouble that we go through, shall pass as well. It will all pass. 1 Peter 5:10, 11 says this, "Yes, you will suffer for a short time, but after that, God will make everything right. He will make you strong. He will support you and keep you from failing. He is the God who gives all grace. He chose you to share in His glory. The glory will continue forever. All power is His forever and amen." You see, there is a glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel. This all shall pass. This life is not our own. This world is not our final home, our final destination either. And death is not the end. Physical death is not the end. One day, we'll be all free from this present struggles when we meet our Savior face to face. And that's going to be a wonderful day. And I look forward to that day. Sixth thing is God works all things together for good. That's the motto. If you have been around KWCF for a little more over 6 months, you realize that this is our motto. This is what we live by. This is what we go by. This is what we preach. This is what we mention almost in every sermon. I guess that's a good thing. We can keep telling people God works all things together for good. Romans 8:28. You see, we trust that the outcome of every circumstance and every pain and every struggle and every casket experience and every pain, we trust that God is going to turn into gain somewhere, somehow. And we trust in His hands, in His provision, in His will. It says that all things will work out together. Now, we know that not all things are good that happen to us. But the outcome we believe and we trust and we hope will be good. And God is going to use it for good. And you know what the funny truth is that we need to realize? Is that we may never see the outcome in this life. We may live, if I'm lucky to live 95 years and still praying to see the outcome of a certain thing. And then God calls me home and I go to heaven. And the very next day I go to heaven. God says, "Okay, here we go." And I say, "God, come on, I was holding on for 95 years. Why?" And then God says, no, I was holding you to be patient and kind and to endure." So, not only does He know everything and turns everything into good, but the Scripture calls our wisdom foolishness to God. And God's wisdom is foolishness to this world. The least that God can do is greater than the most that we can do. The least that God can do. So what we need to do is, we need to keep in mind this year, because as we kind of get the momentum going into this year, and as we enter the storms of life, we'll be reminded to always give glory to God and to focus on His love, His peace, His goodness, His joy, His hope. And I want to end this with this verse that really kept on holding me many, many times over. Psalm 42:11 says this, "Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God." You see, when you're anchored to hope, to Christ, nothing that you face will be able to move you, because you know that God is still on the throne. He's still in control. He still loves you. He still has a plan. The winds will come. The waves will come. The dark storms will roll in our life. But you will not be worried because you have your anchor down and it's anchored to the rock, who is Christ. There's going to be something that's going to come tomorrow, maybe not, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe in a month. They will try to pull that anchor off, whether it's a loss, whether it's, you know, loss is a part of our life. I said this before, I said it again. We're all going to die one day. It's not really something that you want to say on the first day of a new year. But you have to be convicted of that truth that we're all going to pass one day. Yes. There's going to be loss. There's going to be people that will be left behind, will be crying after us. Things will happen. Things will come at us. Sometimes the enemy is going to try to shift us and drift us into doubt, discouragement, self-pity, and all those things that come as the storms roll in. But never forget that Jesus is right there with you in that storm. He's right there on the boat with you. And as we've mentioned many times, we don't really hope in our job, in our banks, in our system, in our government, in the people. We don't really hope in whether I'm going to get a raise or not. We don't really hope in, you know, whether this is going to work out with our family members. We don't hope in people. We don't hope in things. We hope in God Himself. So don't put your hope in your circumstances, but put your hope in God. And when you put your hope in God, your circumstances and your perspective on your circumstances will completely change. And you'll start seeing God work. You'll start seeing God doing amazing things in your life. The scripture tells us, it's a promise that's been given to us. It says this: when we hope in Him, we will never be disappointed. Amen? Amen. Amen.